other yak babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Uh-oh, welcome to Yak Babies. Look out. My name is Aaron. I'm here with my personal pals, Dave.
Hi.
And there's Brick.
Guten Tag.
You guys seem upset. What's wrong, Dave?
It's just sad. We just listened to sad piano music. It was crying alone.
It was the saddest music I've ever heard, and it was made sadder by the man looking directly at us in the eye. Well, we're here to talk about not sadness, but happiness.
Are we?
The joy of finding a good comic to read, right? This episode is all about what are we looking for when we read, looking for in comics. This is a new segment we've been doing since the second season of Yak Baby started. Trying to plumb the depths of these genres and figure out what we're kind of, what our tastes are. What are we intending to find, or what are we happy about when we read certain kinds of things. Did one episode about nonfiction, and we talked about Michelle McNamara's I'll Be Gone in the Dark. This is a comics version of that discussion. I think the key question here to start this conversation off is about art versus writing, and maybe making it versus is a misnomer anyway. But do you feel like in a comic you are attracted to art or story more? Or can good art sustain a bad story or vice versa for you? What's your take on the sort of interrelationship of art and story in the comics medium?
I think for me, story is clearly more important than art. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would read something with good art that didn't have a story that I found compelling.
Yeah.
I am the complete opposite.
Hmm. So art's the main thing for you?
Art's certainly the thing that's going to get me to read past the second page.
Hmm.
If the art's good enough, I'll keep going, because that's really, you know, if I want good writing, no offense, I'm not going to go to a comic book to look for it.
Hmm.
You know, that's not, partly because that's not, I haven't read a lot of comics in my life, so that's not what I think of when I think of, oh, I feel, it's a different mood, right? That said, if the writing is awful, then that will turn me off quickly.
Right.
But that's not the thing that's hooking me. You know, it's whether it's appealing to look at. But I don't think that's also enough to a 300-page book with good art where the story is not interesting. I'm not going to get through that book.
Right.
I'm not necessarily looking for good writing, like prose, but I'm looking for good story. It's like, mm-hmm. compared to like books, like novels, it would be like I'm reading it, a comic book, for a good story, in the way I would read like a horror novel or a sci-fi novel for a good story, and not yeah. necessarily good writing.
Yeah.
It's interesting that we're using writing here. It sounds like to me to signify like traditional paragraph and sentence prose, right? Because I think I do go to comics for good writing as much as any other medium. Like, you're looking for good writing in a screenplay too, or in a song or whatever. And I think that there is room for really sort of poetic or evocative, even just like basic prose in a comic, though it is maybe a more explicitly story-driven medium than maybe others are. But that's, I feel like there's room for comics to be beautiful in the way that, and that novels can be, right? And that the writing can sort of affect you in the way that novel can.
Yeah, it's a little hard because we talked about this a little bit when we were talking about that Scott McCloud book.
Yeah.
A lot of the language of comics isn't in the words.
Right.
You know, so when we're talking about writing and story, do we take those other, you know, there's a lot of stuff with comics that's in between art and writing, I guess is what I'm trying to say, right? Where there's a lot of intentionality in the positioning of things and the coloring of things and the pacing of things that novelists accomplish through prose, right? That's not just down to, is the art appealing to you? There's language in there, even if it's not letters.
Yeah, that's a good point. And maybe the initial question is a misnomer then. So it's not writing and art, but more the story versus the way that it looks, I guess. Like, I feel like a story, art and story are obviously related to each other, but you can be telling an interesting story using art in a very deliberate and specific way and still not be sold on the art style, right? That's sort of like that vibe just doesn't hit you.
Yeah, I'm thinking there's a book I read a few years ago called The Arrival by Sean Tan. Have you ever seen this?
Was that movie Arrival based on that?
No, oh. It was about, it's kind of like a immigrant story. And it's about this dude that has like a little pet alien. I don't remember it exactly. But what I do remember is there are zero words in the book. It is purely drawings.
Mm.
But it has a pretty good story to it.
Yeah.
That you have to extrapolate through the pages of the book. But
yeah. Maybe it's a question of what kind of experience are you looking for in the comic? Do you want a visually aesthetic experience where you are spending a lot of time consuming the art and processing it and, you know, kind of bathing, I guess, in that visual landscape? Or are you primarily looking to get the plot points and have the story be told to you. They're both valid, I think, and often I would say most readers are a combination of the two in different forms, but maybe that's the central tension that I guess I was trying to get at. I'm thinking of mainstream comics especially, often the art is or can be no good, where you read a comic and you're like, this art is terrible. And it might be interesting in the characters or the story, but I just can't swallow the art, and it becomes a bummer for me.
I think that's a big part of why I bounce off so many.
Yeah, the art turns you off, and so it's therefore less worth getting into.
While I can appreciate good writing in comics and graphic novels, I go to them for the aesthetics.
Yeah.
You know, and right. Then when those things, when there's a strong story there, that helps hook me and keep me interested and make me really enjoy it.
Yeah.
But that's not why I'm approaching those. You know, we were just talking about some mangas. I wasn't really approaching them for the stories.
Right.
And in fact, the stories weren't what I liked most about them when I was done with them, even though I wholly enjoyed them and the stories were very good.
Right.
You know, when you go back to that episode, I spent 90% of the time talking about what it looked like.
Right, right. So it is mostly a visual experience for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. I think I like to draw.
Mm-hmm.
So, I can spend a lot of time looking over pictures and really appreciating their... Mm-hmm. I don't like so much... the comics that one of the reasons I don't like superhero comics that much is they look really like glossy and shiny to me, and they kind of look like they're made on computers.
Mm-hmm.
I much prefer the old like 70s ones that are kind of, you know, they got warts.
Right.
And, you know, when we were talking about those manga books, you know, it really looked like someone sat down with a pen and a paper and put thousands of hours into those books.
Right.
And I can really appreciate that, and that I enjoy that.
So is that a labor question for you? Is the ink on paper stands in for or like represents like physical labor, whereas the computer sort of glossy mainstream super comic art tends to look like maybe easier or less, I don't know,
less care?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
So I can totally appreciate how much time and effort goes into working on things digitally.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a ton of time and effort that goes into whoever made all the action figures I liked as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I can probably sit and appreciate them more than just playing with them. Mm-hmm. But you're never going to give an action figure the attention to detail you would a marble statue in a museum.
Mm.
And I don't think that's because of the labor, but I think I like seeing the fingerprints on things.
Mm.
You know, I think that that's something I appreciate. And the artistry is a little more apparent to me in that way.
Right.
It's not quite as abstracted.
So maybe more of a fine art versus like popular art question then.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I like popular art, but I kind of like when they meet in the middle, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Right. Right. Dave, for you, sort of as a reader who is, you know, still relatively new to comics or kind of getting into it, when you're looking for, you know, a storytelling genre in the comic form, what are you drawn to? What kinds of stories do you enjoy reading in the medium?
When we first started talking about this idea, I made a quick list of my favorite series.
Mm.
Again, of the like limited number of series I've read.
Yeah.
And my top three are all superheroes,
mm-hmm.
which is surprising because that's not really something I was into very much as a kid.
Yeah.
But they're superheroes who spend a lot of time looking inward,
mm-hmm.
particularly Mr. Miracle and Hawkeye. Those two, they're like, you know, there's a lot of, we deal a lot with what's going on psychically with them as much as what's going on externally. So like, rather than just being about beating the villain or whatever, it's about, you know, they're fighting their own demons inside. And we kind of get to see that process. And, you know, they're both also kind of funny. They're like world weary.
Yeah.
But in like an amusing, often like sarcastic kind of way, which I appreciate.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Neither of those books are adventure focused. They tend to be more, you said, internal and more about the interrelationships of the characters and less about, there is a plot A, plot B kind of movement.
Yeah. They're like struggling with themselves as much as they are struggling with the external.
Yeah.
You know, they're saving themselves as much as they're saving the world.
I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
Or they're working on that at least. And then Miss Marvel is the third one I came up with. And that too is, and it's maybe a little lighter than the other two, but also still very funny. And it's still the superhero kind of like dealing with a lot of new feelings and emotions
mm-hmm.
at a time when she as a teenager is already vulnerable to those.
Right.
So that seemed like a common thread between the three of those. Maybe that's the kind of thing I'm looking for. So sort of like I said before, like story maybe is more important to me than art in a comic book, but sort of like in my fiction taste, character is maybe more important to me than actual mm-hmm. story, like mm-hmm. plot.
Right.
Yeah, I'd be inclined to agree. I think that's true for me of prose also and novels.
Mm-hmm.
A book with strong characterization, I'm going to like more than a book with a strong plot.
Mm.
Obviously, I want both. But the same is true of comics, maybe even more so. Like, obviously, they tend to follow a much more plotted. It's kind of hard to have a wandering comic, I think.
Yeah.
Just by nature of it's a visual thing and it needs those anchor points.
Hmm.
To not just be completely abstract. But the ones with strong characters are, as much as the show was never something I was that into, I really liked the Walking Dead comic for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was so heavily characterized.
Hmm.
I think with Paper Girls, that's my favorite part of that, is the characters of the four girls.
Yeah.
That and the art. And another one, the comic I hung into maybe the longest as far as modern comics that I've read is the Ninja Turtles reboot from... It's still going on now, but I gave up at issue 50.
Right.
Which, obviously, nostalgia played a big part of that for me. But what really drew me to those beyond curiosity was that they spent some time characterizing these characters that I'd sort of had one way in my head from cartoons when I was a child. And to see them kind of given a little more emotional space and a little more individual motivation was something that's what kept me going on that for a while.
Right.
And the arc up through those 50 chapters was pretty satisfying. When it started on a new one, that's when I was ready to kind of hop off. But
yeah,
up through that point, that was the thing.
That's an important element too, especially for mainstream comics, is like property affiliation and fandom, right? If you are previously a fan of Ninja Turtles or Batman or whatever, then in some cases you're drawn to that comic for that character and the familiarity and resonance of that. That can also, in many ways, overwhelm overpower any distaste for the writing or the art. Now, I've read comics with characters that I like through really horrible arcs and creative teams just because I wanted to. I have a fan of the character, right? You just kind of hold on to it, and you endure whatever happens, and you go on the next one, hope that it gets better.
That can cut both ways, though. If you don't like what they're doing with the character, wouldn't that make you want to stop?
Sure, but it depends on the character, right? So I've been reading Batman continuously since for over 10 years now. It's been through some periods that I was like less fond of, but kind of kept at it because I was like, well, it's just the Batman comic. I'm already invested. I might as well keep going with it. And I like Batman enough to keep going. But yeah, others not so much, right? So others, it kind of depends on right. where it comes and goes. But that's a weird, that's definitely a thing that doesn't, I guess it happens in like contemporary lit too, especially with YA and literature that is organized around those kinds of genre tropes. But in comics especially, there's that sense of, well, I just like Superman, right? And I want to keep reading Superman comics, and I'm going to go find them wherever they are and just like try and consume that narrative. You don't do that with, I don't know, like Stephen King characters, right? It's not the same thing.
We had to bring up Stephen King.
He's always there lurking in the background somewhere. Yeah, so I was going to ask Dave, based on that sort of sense of character over story and also kind of like looking for characters who are introspective, do you feel like, cause those are three superhero comics, would you also be interested in or drawn to comics that were in different genres like westerns, sci-fi, crime comics, whatever, that took a similar approach to sort of a somewhat sort of sarcastic or aimless protagonist? Or is that something unique to the combination of superhero comics and that kind of character attitude?
I don't think it has anything to do with superheroes. Mm-hmm. I would be more than open to exploring similar characters in all genres of...
Yeah.
It just seemed... I mean, I think it's... Well, you know, I get most of my ideas from you, and I guess these are just happen to be three that stuck, but I don't think it's necessarily because they are superheroes.
Right. That's what I was wondering. When you mentioned this, I was like, well, I think that the superhero influence is mine. And then I was
right,
like,
probably,
that
yeah.
Bias is because I'm giving you options or that are, and I'm definitely like a heavily biased towards superhero comics. I brought up earlier off mic that we should all read Daredevil Born Again. And I think that you would both like that or be interested in different ways. It requires less prep than you'd think, maybe, and does have a character who is a bit more internal. It's definitely more plot-based than Hawkeye or Mr. Miracle, for sure, but has a very sort of central focus on Matt Murdock and his life falling apart and then trying to build it back up again. I'd be interested to see, you know, in a discussion, a kind of a common discussion about that book, like where you all fell and sort of what it meant to you or not. Yeah, maybe future episode.
You know, it strikes me suddenly that Shade had a lot of what I'm talking
yeah,
about
oh,
here,
yeah,
too.
Totally.
That, yeah. And those are the parts that, and I blanked on that before, but that would probably be on this list.
Yeah.
As well. Shade the Changing Girl.
And when Shade got bad towards the end, it was because the plot took over and it got more focused on trying to wrap up the story and less in the characters. That's what I kind of felt it was maybe sort of doing less work. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So one thing that I look for in comics is an end.
Right. Yeah.
I really need it, you know, and that doesn't mean that every story needs to be the end of Batman. I need arcs to have ends.
Yeah.
Right? There needs to be a stopping point and then a starting back up point. And when they're just kind of perpetual, I lose interest quickly.
Yeah. Well, that's a unique thing with comics and graphic novels and comics that are published outside of the mainstream superhero comics. You're going to get a lot more of that, right?
Right.
Like, tons of comics are written with an end in mind, and they're published serialized to a certain point, or they're graphic novels that are, like, basically, like, published like novels, right? So there's tons out there. And what you mentioned earlier about sort of comics that wander, I think there's tons of that, too, but in the more, like, avant-garde realm. So yeah. It's definitely out there, but it's not going to be, you're not going to see it from Marvel or DC or even Dark Horse or Image or the other kind of, like, bigger indies.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
How often do you read graphic novels?
Not as often. Most of my reading comic-wise is the issues that I buy every Wednesday and then things I'll get from the Hoopla app that are mostly collections of like trade paperbacks of issues. And then I try to read graphic novels as well. But similar to the reading problem I have with novels, period, which is like there's tons on my shelf that I haven't gotten around to, and it'll be years before I do, probably.
Because it's more of a focused time commitment?
It's more just, it's a weird time finance interaction. It was like every week I go to the comic book store and spend money on comics in single issue form, so it feels more pressing to read those, right? It's like, and if I get behind, then it's harder to keep track of what I'm still buying or what I'm paying attention to,
right?
So it's more like I'm keeping on top of what I'm reading regularly, and that leaves less room for a kind of longer, you know, even graphic novel length thing. But I definitely enjoy them. There's something about the form that I don't like. It's more just I tend to focus more on superhero comics and mainstream comics.
But maybe I wonder if there's some ways in which you prefer the episodic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. For nostalgia reasons, and also for, I've always liked short fiction over novels as a writer anyway, too. So there's something about like getting sort of like little blips and moving on to the next thing after that. Yeah. But I'd say probably all of it is also just like nostalgia and the routine of going to the comic book store every week and buying my pull list, which is also maybe something that we look for in comics too, is that I look for interaction and like a community around it. And going to the comic book store is something that I treasure. And when I didn't have that, when I lived in New Orleans, I couldn't afford to go to the comic book store. It was a bummer. It was like, it like felt like I had lost something that I really enjoyed.
Where does the community, like, do you go there and talk to people or what?
Yeah. And talk to the people who work there, who I know, and talk about things that I don't like.
Your hired snuggler likes comics, right?
My hired snuggler. Yeah, $60 an hour, and she's allowed to read all the comics that she wants.
Oh, that's a good deal.
Yeah, it works out perfectly for her.
So you like go there and chat with the staff about the books that you're all reading in common?
Whatever's going on in our lives, too. There's like the community around just the experience of going there. People who I enjoy, who I like, and we talk about whatever comes up. And sometimes it's comics, sometimes it's not. But even, you know, comics on Twitter, people talking about it, comics there. It's really fun. Part of the joy of comics to me is when other people read it and you can talk about it and share the enthusiasm for it. That's why I am excited for the past couple of years that you guys have been getting more into it, because it's not just something I do by myself that I kind of, you know, just enjoy and then don't ever talk about.
Do you have the same experience in bookstores?
No, definitely not.
You don't go like chat up.
Because all those motherfuckers are pretentious.
I mean, I know like our friends who work there, and if I see them, I talk to them.
Sure.
But I'm not going to go because with the comic book store, you go every week. So you're there every Wednesday, you know, usually, or something like that. So it's like going to a bar and being a regular. Like, you kind of, like, you're familiar and they get to know you and they know your name and your preferences, that kind of thing. Bookstore, you know, I go once a month maybe.
Right.
And they don't know who I am.
Right.
I can imagine that being different in a smaller town, maybe, if you're going to the bookstore more, or a library for sure, if you're going regularly. But that's not my experience. So the comic book store does serve that kind of community function for me. Yeah. Other final thoughts on the medium or genre?
No, I'm a little surprised we didn't talk about art more, but I'm not upset.
Yeah, well, there's a question there, which is, like, do you have things in art that you like or don't like? Like, do you have styles that you kind of prefer? I definitely do.
Was that rhetorical or direct?
No, that was open.
Yeah, I like, really bold.
What do you mean by bold?
Like, colors and, like, Paper Girl style. That Ninja Turtles book I talked about was similar.
Mm.
It was, you know, there wasn't a lot of gradients. It was thick lines and solid colors.
Yeah,
I like that. And I also really like black and white comics.
Sure.
And that might be because most of my experience as a kid was newspaper and Calvin and Hobbes. So that might just be, again, nostalgia kind of playing into it.
Yeah. There's a mood to black and white as well.
Yeah, there is. That, I think we both read it, the one about the Green River Killer.
Yes.
I think we talked about it on the old podcast.
Yeah.
That one was all black and white, and that one was great.
Yeah, it was a great comic.
Yeah.
Dave, what about you? Do you have art things that you look for?
I think that I am put off by art more often than I'm lured in by it. One of the things, and maybe it's something about my willingness to work hard at it, but one thing, if I'm flipping through a comic book, and like it typically like will happen in fantasy comics more than anything, which is maybe one of the things that I'm struggling with in Die, especially that second issue where they were in the game world or whatever, where it's just like a lot of like swirling action, I guess, that is difficult for me, particularly probably as a novice, to follow. And yeah, maybe I'm not willing to learn how to do that, I guess, like put in the time to figure out how to read that kind of thing.
Yeah. It does have, there is like a mood with that art too, right? Or sorry, a feeling. It feels like fantasy art and it feels overwhelming maybe, or sort of overpowering intentionally. Whereas comic strip art that is more, to use a pejorative term, it's not pejorative, simple, or maybe sort of more kind of stripped down, you're feeling a different thing there. You're sort of having a different reaction to what's going on around you. So it makes sense for the story being told, but yeah, I can see that sort of being kind of almost oppressive. Yeah, it's had the same thing. The artists that I like a lot tend to come from the more kind of stripped down field school of comic art. So, you know, Dave Mazzucchelli, I think, is an incredible artist. From, he did Batman Year One and did Daredevil Born Again, speaking of, talked about. And people who kind of come into that school. So Cliff Chang is definitely one of them for sure, who does Paper Girls. I like that art quite a bit. And then people like Doc Shaner today. Mitch Garrett is funny because I first read his stuff and never liked it. I was really bugged by it because it felt almost like it was drawn through a screen. And I had a hard time seeing it, kind of. And then Mr. Miracle turned me around entirely. I was a huge fan. I liked Sheriff of Babylon eventually by the end, but I was never like, oh, the art is so good here. And Mr. Miracle, I felt like that was a huge turn for him, and his art got a lot more sophisticated and more interesting. But it's also pretty basic too, right? You know, pretty simple in terms of the approach. The grid's pretty simple. The characterizations are very clear. Not a lot of unnecessary flourish, but in doing so, packs a lot of emotion into his characters.
Right, and maybe that makes sense too with what I was talking about before about how I'm more interested in story than I am in art.
Yeah.
I guess in general, it makes sense then that the maybe busier the art, the less attracted to it I would be.
Yeah. I feel like we got to read Daredevil Born Again. Like, I feel like it's these things are coalescing in that story, I think, and there's a lot going on there that I think you would respond to in a positive way. Okay, good. That's what we're looking for in comics, right? Let's hear about your taste in comics. What are you looking for? What are you attracted to? What turns you off in the comics realm, etc.? Find us on Twitter at YakBabies and by email at YakBabiesPodcast@gmail.com. Go to Patreon.com/YakBabies and support us. For $1 a month, you can get access to the whole treasure trove of hilarity. If you think the podcast and the main feed are good, the podcast and the hidden feed are even better. I get it, say. There's tons of really good stuff happening there. It's disgusting for sure, but well worth it for a dollar. So check that out, right?
Not safe for work, right?
Not safe for life, really.
Unless you work with sluice gates.
But who's at work listening out loud to podcasts, like without headphones? That's a weird thing anyway.
You know, sometimes I do that in my office at school. I'll listen to a podcast because I can listen to a podcast when I grade, if it's in the air, but if it's in my earphones, I can't, or headphones, I can't, because like, it's distracting. And one time I was listening to a podcast, I can't remember which one, and it was like real disgusting, or just like, it was a comedy podcast, so it was getting real dark, and I didn't think about, like, the walls are pretty thin in those offices, and like, what I'm listening to is accessible to me, but like, it's not meant for mainstream consumption. So I guess I am the person that did that, and maybe would do that. But yeah, do it, why not? Listen to Yuck Babies at your workspace and get fired. Yuck Babies, yakking off.
The Yak Babies would like to send an extra thank you to everyone who listens regularly, and especially to those who have supported on Patreon, past and present, including Michael, Bonnie, and William Howard Taft.